We're continuing with our series on privilege this week in conjunction with Diversity Week here at UMD. Privilege, who has it, who doesn't, and who doesn't see it? Privilege is a word that, especially when we associate it with money, you have privilege, meaning you have money. Lots of people push back rather violently. I do not. And they can definitely prove it. But privilege, maybe a better word, would be advantage, or in some instances, good luck. Sometimes it's a situation of privilege is just a cultural norm that we think that everybody has lives like this, or everybody does things in a certain way. And it's interesting to find out and eye-opening that that's not the case across the board, and that other people have very different experiences depending on the way they were brought up, depending on their gender, depending sometimes on the color of their skin. Lisa Herschel Hendrickson joins us this morning as our guest. She's enrolled in the Anishinaabe Tribe of Wisconsin, and she's a recent graduate with degrees in sociology and Native studies. Lisa, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us today. Oops, sorry about that. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, sorry, hit the wrong button. That's how I roll. We've okay. had a couple of interesting conversations with men who've said, on the one hand, I have privilege because I'm a man, but on the other hand, I don't have privilege because I am a person of color. As a woman and a person of color, do you feel sometimes like going out in the world is navigating a minefield, or is that an overstatement?
No, I don't think that that's an overstatement. I think that that is a very true statement. I also deal with a certain amount of disability. And so as far as privilege, what I think is that I'm grateful for food and shelter, if you will. I'm grateful that I'm warm and not out in the cold.
When you think about privilege, and when you would say perhaps to an acquaintance, you know, and you might say to the acquaintance, or you have privilege, what are you saying about them? Or when you say, you know, you have a privilege that I don't have, are you saying that perhaps that they have more money than you, or what are you trying to communicate to them? I'm still working on kind of unpacking this whole concept of privilege.
I think that I'm saying that they don't recognize the many privileges and blessings they have just by being a white male, that they take things for granted, perhaps their job positions or the amount of money that they're able to make in a year. I think that they take these things for granted, and that, you know, everyone else should be the same. It's not the same for everyone else. It's not the same for women. It's not the same for people of color. And it's not the same for people with disabilities.
So what are some of the ways in which a lack of privilege, or where some of these discrepancies affect you on a day-to-day basis? Can you talk about some of the examples of things that are maybe more difficult for you, either as a woman, as a person with a disability, or as a person of color?
Housing is difficult. You know, I've never been evicted, but it is hard to keep everything paid up. It's hard to keep insurance on my car, and I just have liability insurance. Just ordinary things that I think that a lot of people take for granted. For instance, I don't have any internet right now. I think that people take a lot for granted. You know, having internet in your home, or having a landline, or having a working car, having money for car repairs, things of that nature.
I know that I've got a friend who's talked about the difficulty in housing, and I'm wondering, is it more difficult to get housing as a person of color, as a Native person, or is it more difficult if you are, for example, a single mom with kids?
It's more difficult, I'm certain, for single mothers with kids. But also, I think that there are many people in a foreclosure situation or also being evicted from the housing authority. And can't stop the homeless situation by continuously evicting people. I mean, unless the situation is so bad that it cannot be addressed in any other way but by evicting a family. As we know, it gets very, very cold up here. That is a terrifying thought of being evicted.
And is it
especially with children?
Lisa, is it your sense that the housing situation is difficult and folks are getting evicted because they're people of color?
Well, I think it crosses race and class. You know, when you're poor and you don't have the resources, whether or not you're working, and I work, you know, that makes the impact even worse. You know, you can't just go and get another place to live. That is very difficult. You know, because, I mean, just the money would provide another place to live, but it's not something everybody has access to. And I must reiterate, it is not just because of lack of work or not working. The wages are not high enough. There needs to be better pay for women. I work with mainly women. The other staff are mainly women. And the wages are not good, and it is a dangerous, stressful job.
One of the things that I've heard said is that it is really expensive to be poor. And it sounds like that, like you're giving some examples of that right now in terms of, you know, maybe you can't get the car maintained on a regular basis. So it's more expensive when you drive the car until it just kind of falls apart. And then it's like, well, either I come up with this huge sum of money to repair it or I'm out of a car.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. For instance, I have a power steering issue with my car. That's over $500. And I've already repaired the power steering once through one of those recall notices. And there's no warranty. I mean, a lot of manufacturing has really gone downhill, and it's shoddy manufacturing. If they would have made the car right to begin with, I wouldn't be having this problem because I do maintenance on it.
And those things become big issues when the cash flow is just always a challenge.
Always a challenge, yes.
So
day-to-day survival.
So as you look at your life, and do you feel that your biggest, if you had to maybe put your finger on it, is your biggest challenge being a woman, being a person of color, or your economic bracket right now?
I think that my biggest challenge is my economic bracket. I mean, and that crosses all the other things you mentioned. Those things overlap, those categories that you mentioned.
Jeremy Neville Sorrell was our guest on Monday, and he talked about a situation in his office building where the offices are downstairs and there's low-income housing upstairs, and staff members would come and they would get change for their parking meters. And then when the people who lived in the building came downstairs and they needed money for a bus or money for a snack machine, the change machine was empty. And so they mentioned it to the staff people and said, you know, you could go to the bank. You have a car, and you could go to the bank and get your quarters at the bank, for example. Is that the kind of thing that you discover living closer to the poverty line or at or under the poverty line, as so many people who are working do, that there are things that people who have access to a little bit more cash, they just don't seem to get?
That sounds like a huge assumption that you can just get in the car and go to the bank. Many people don't have a bank account, and if they do, there may be $2 in it. So,
well, that was what his point was. The people that needed the money for their parking meters did have cars. They had the good job. They had the bank accounts. And his point was, don't use the change machine here. Leave the change machine for the low-income people who live here. And the person apparently said, well, I have a right to use the change machine, too. And he said, the person had access to other options. They had other options, but the folks living in that building didn't have as many options. And it sounds like living, again, that close to the poverty line really cuts back on a lot of your options for a lot of different things.
Well, yes, it does. And I would hope that the people living in that building would have a dollar to put in that machine to get the quarters out. But many times they're lucky if they have a quarter to put in a meter to park.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. We're trying to look at this idea of privilege, maybe sometimes just advantages, or you could call it good luck, maybe, how some people have things. Blessings. I liked your word, blessings. They have blessings that maybe they're not aware of, especially when it's, I have a blessing and somebody else doesn't, and how can I maybe adapt my behavior a little bit? So thank you so much for sharing your experience with us this morning.
And thank you for calling me and talking to me.
Lisa,
have a good day.
You too. Lisa Herschel Hendrickson was our guest this morning as our series continues, Privilege, Who Has It? Who doesn't, and who doesn't see it? And we'll continue our discussion of economic privilege and some of the things that make life either easier or more difficult, depending on your economics. A conversation with Angie Miller will be on the docket for tomorrow morning, right here on KUMD.